All right, so you're probably wading through tons of cases right now, right? Trying to grasp the bigger picture, especially in complex areas like ERISA.
Definitely a lot to unpack.
Well, think of this as your shortcut to clarity. Today, we're diving deep into a landmark Supreme Court case, Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation, VRA Gray & Co. It really gets to the heart of how far Congress can go with making laws that reach back in time, retroactive laws, and what the Fifth Amendment's Due Process Clause has to say about that. It's a classic example of judicial review when it comes to economic laws, something super relevant for all you future lawyers out there.
Couldn't agree more. It's a foundational case.
Okay, so to set the stage, picture this. Late 1970s, early 80s, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, ERISA, passed back in 74, and its big goal was to protect workers' pensions. It even established the PBGC as the safety net.
Right, a sort of backstop.
Right. But then multi-employer pension plans, they started running into some serious trouble.
Oh, absolutely. What was happening with these multi-employer plans, it was a real systemic risk. The way they were structured kind of encouraged individual employers to just bail out.
Withdraw, yeah.
Exactly. So when one employer left, the responsibility for all those unfunded liabilities, the money promised to retirees that the plan didn't actually have it, fell on the shoulders of the remaining employers and potentially on the PBGC. Kind of like a game of musical chairs, wasn't it?
It was. That's a great analogy. Yeah. It created this race to the exits mentality.
Exactly.
And so Congress steps in, right, 1980, with the Multi-Employer Pension Plan Amendments Act, MPPAA, and they introduce this concept of withdrawal liability. Basically, if an employer pulls out of a multi-employer plan, they got to pay their share of the plan's unfunded vested benefits. Makes sense, right?
Right. Trying to share the responsibility more fairly.
Exactly. But here's the catch, and this is crucial for understanding the whole case, the timeline. Congress passed the MPPAA in September 1980, but, and this is the kicker, those withdrawal liability provisions, they made them retroactive all the way back to April 29th of that same year, 5 months before the law was actually enacted.
That's where things get interesting,
Yeah,
yeah.
it does. It gets really interesting. So, okay, now imagine you're running RA Gray & Co., a construction company. June 1st, 1980, you decide, okay, we're pulling out of our multi-employer pension plan. Sounds reasonable at the time, right?
Perfectly legal at that point.
Exactly. Then a few months later, boom, MPPAA becomes law, and you're slapped with a bill for over 200 grand in withdrawal liability for something you did before the law even existed.
That's a tough spot to be in.
That is the heart of this legal battle.
Exactly. RA Gray & Co., they weren't going to take that lying down.
Yeah.
They challenged this retroactive application, saying it violated their Fifth Amendment due process rights. You can't hold us accountable for something that was legal when we did it. That was their argument.
Makes sense. So off it goes to the courts. District Court, they uphold the MPPAA, but then Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they side with Gray, they strike down the retroactive part of the law, back and forth. And of course, this is where the Supreme Court decides to step in. Big leagues now.
High stakes. And this is where we bump into a really important legal concept, the rational basis test. So when the Supreme Court looks at economic legislation, like the MPPAA, especially when it's got this retroactive element, they don't apply the same super strict scrutiny that they would with laws that, affect fundamental rights. There's this basic assumption that economic laws passed by Congress are constitutional.
So the burden's on the one challenging the law, RA Gray and Co. in this case, to prove Congress was being totally unreasonable or just acting randomly when they made the law retroactive. That's a pretty tough argument to make, isn't it?
It is a very high bar to clear. And it's important here to understand the difference between the Due Process Clause and the Contract Clause, right? So the Contract Clause puts tighter limits on states when they try to pass laws that mess with existing contracts. But in a Gray case, since the MPPAA was a federal law, the Contract Clause didn't directly apply. The challenge was purely on Fifth Amendment due process grounds.
Got it. Okay. So let's get into the Supreme Court's thinking. Why'd they side with the PBGC and say that applying the MPPAA retroactively was okay? What was their logic?
Well, they had a few key reasons. The biggest one was Congress's rationale for the law. The justices saw that Congress was trying to stop a mass exodus from these underfunded plans while the MPPAA was being debated. Think about it. If employers knew tougher withdrawal rules were coming but not yet in effect, they'd have a huge incentive to bolt before the law actually hit.
It's like closing a loophole before everyone takes advantage, right?
Exactly. The court even specifically said that without the retroactive bit, there would be a greater incentive to withdraw as the debate on the MPPAA went on, and it looked more likely to pass.
Makes total sense. So what else?
Second big point was notice. The court said that R.A. Gray & Co. had enough warning that they might have to cough up some cash if they left the pension plan.
Hold on. How could they have had enough warning if the MPPAA with its retroactive part wasn't even a thing yet?
Good point. But the court pointed to ERISA, the original law.
Mm.
Even before the MPA, ERISA had parts that said employers could be on the hook financially if they ditched a multi-employer plan. Plus, there was a ton of public talk and legislative proposals going around for a while before the MPPAA, and these proposals usually included some kind of retroactive effective date for the new withdrawal rules. So even though the exact details of the MPPAA weren't final, the idea of increased liability wasn't a total shock.
So it's kind of like, hey, heads up, something's coming.
Exactly. It wasn't some random out-of-the-blue change.
Yeah.
Now, lastly, the court distinguished this case from another one, Railroad Retirement Board v. Alton Arco. In Alton Railroad, they had struck down a retroactive law. The Supreme Court in Gray said, look, the MPPAA just makes employers pay for benefits workers have already earned, stuff they've already racked up through their service.
Right.
Alton Railroad tried to create brand new pension obligations for past work, work that employees had already been paid for. Big difference. And the court in Gray saw that as way more unfair.
Right, making them pay for something they already paid for. Okay, I get the distinction. So big picture, what are the key takeaways from PVGC VRA Gray & Co. for, you know, law students? What are the core principles here?
I'd say one of the biggest things it reinforces is how much power Congress has to pass economic laws, even if they're retroactive. The court really showed they tend to defer to Congress when it comes to complex issues like, you know, keeping pension plans afloat. Like Justice Brennan said in the majority opinion, legislative acts adjusting economic burdens come with a presumption of constitutionality. So for you all studying this, remember that when you see challenges to economic laws based on due process, especially when they're retroactive, courts are usually going to start by assuming Congress was in the right.
So basically, Congress, you do your thing when it comes to the economy. We trust you mostly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Another key takeaway is the court specifically saying the MPPAA's retroactive part wasn't really about being fair to employers. It was about protecting the entire multi-employer pension system from going belly up. The big goal was to keep these plans stable and protect the benefits promised to tons of workers. Oh, and they also said that using retroactivity is actually pretty common practice when producing national legislation. It's a way to spread the cost of benefits to those who actually benefited from the work that, you know, created those benefits.
Right. It's all about balancing the scales. And it's super important to remember those different standards of review, right? The due process clause, when we're talking about federal economic laws applied retroactively, it's got less strict limits than the contract clause that applies to states messing with contracts.
Absolutely. The court really drove that point home. So to sum it all up, the Gray case is like the textbook example of how the rational basis test works for retroactive economic laws under the Fifth Amendment. And it shows how much courts usually give Congress the benefit of the doubt when they make laws in this area.
It's been a really illuminating deep dive into a super important case. It's easy to get lost in the weeds of ERISA, but grasping these constitutional principles in a case like PBGC VRA Gray & Co. really clarifies things.
Definitely. And it brings up a really interesting question for you all to think about. Given how much power Congress has with these retroactive economic laws, what kind of situation, in your legal opinion, would make a court decide that a law is so off base, so unreasonable, that it actually violates the due process clause? Where do you think that line is for Congress?
That is a really thought-provoking question. It really gets at this constant push and pull between giving lawmakers the flexibility they need to handle tricky economic problems and protecting people and businesses from retroactive laws that could really blindside them. Thank you so much for taking us through this deep dive into PBGC VRA Gray & Co. It's given us a solid understanding of this crucial area where constitutional law and economic regulation intersect.
My pleasure. Always happy to dig into a good case.
Until next time.
See you then.